Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome to Astro Q&A with Hope Decay.
Okay, we're going to start this out with two questions from Ryan Krizak, who's an awesome Vedic astrologer, who just asked me some simple questions, kind of lighthearted. I'm a Virgo ascendant. Am I more inclined to play a Les Paul or a Strat or a Dan Electro DC? Well, since the outstanding traits of Virgo are practical organization, prudent commerce, then, you know, let's pick the guitar that matches that. So I would say you'd pick the more symmetrical, articulate, lightly balanced guitar, you know, which I think would be the Dan Electro DC. And then the runner-up would be the Strat. It would be a close runner-up, the Fender Stratocaster. And I think the third choice would be the Gibson Les Paul, because compared to the other two, it's just kind of less precise and a little bit muddled. But again, you have to consider the prudent commerce aspect of Virgo. So if you get a good deal on either one of those three, you would probably be very inclined to take it. Next question from Ryan. I've always heard that Mars ruled or influenced people are happier because they usually just take what they want. Is that true? Sure, Mars influenced person will take what they want, but the real question is, are they going to succeed or not? And that would really determine whether or not they get any happiness from their ambition to take whatever they want. So, you know, Hitler, for example, is a very martial chart, and he certainly tried to take what he wanted, but wound up failing and didn't, you know, Hitler isn't really known as the happiest guy in the world, and he certainly didn't end up very happy. So just because you got a prominent Mars doesn't mean you're going to wind up happy, and just because you take what you want doesn't mean you're going to get it, and doesn't mean it's going to give you happiness. You need more than a dominant Mars. You need a dominant Mars that's positive. If you have a dominant Mars that's positive, then you can take what you want at the right time when it doesn't make you look evil, and you can take it successfully, and then you might achieve happiness that way. But still, even a positive Mars doesn't really paint a picture of like happiness, you know, because Mars is not exactly like a happy planet. You know, Mars is like a very strong planet, a very courageous planet, a very self-willed and self-determining planet. So in a chart where there's a dominant and positive Mars, you still don't really see the image of a person as like happy. You see the person who's more like Mars, very strong, very, very self-willed, etc., very bold. Here's a question from Shaggy. What astrological stuff symbolizes the playa? Okay, there's more than one way to bake a cookie, but here's some of the ingredients for one of my recipes. The more of these ingredients that you find in a chart, the more exactly you find them in the chart, then the more that cookie is going to taste like that Don Juan woman eating playa. So the first ingredient, you want to get Mars to have more strength than Venus and to, you know, really influence Venus by strongly aspecting it or strongly conjoining it. So a Mars that's stronger than Venus and aspects or conjoins Venus is going to be one of the important ingredients in the playa cookie. The second ingredient, if you can have this happen to Venus while Venus is in an air sign or a dual sign, then that's going to be even stronger. He's going to, you know, it's even going to have more playa flavor. A third ingredient, if this air sign or dual sign that Venus is in while getting aspected by a stronger Mars happens to be in a prominent house, like an angle, especially 1 or 10, or if it's in a house that has some direct sexual relevance, like especially 8 or 5, or to some extent 12 or 3, then it's going to be even louder. This guy's going to be even more of a player. So those are your three ingredients of the playa. You got to have Venus influenced by Mars, but the Venus has to be weaker than Mars. And Venus should also be in kind of a pleasure-oriented, non-committal sign, like an air sign or a dual sign. And it should also be prominent in the horoscope or in connection with some sexual symbol. Now we got a question from Tina Lilith. Can natal chart indicate our next reincarnation? Well, it's really hard to say because there's no way to test. Let's say if I look at your chart and I say, yes, Tina Lilith will be a mushroom in her next life. Okay, there's my wonderful prediction, and I can even wear a turban while I say it. But am I right or am I wrong? Who knows? How are we going to follow you to your next life to see if you got born in the fungi kingdom? So since there's no way to test if a theory of prediction is right or wrong, then it's not very likely that those theories are very reliable, because there's no way to have tested them. Another problem with trying to predict the next life, you know, first of all, what even determines the next life? The future is determined by your decisions, you see? So the decisions that you've made in the past are determining your present, and the ones that haven't even come true yet or haven't borne their fruit yet, they're still waiting to influence your future. So some of the future is predictable, but you're also making decisions right now in terms of how you choose to react to your destiny. And so those decisions that you're making right now are affecting the future. So how can you judge that by a snapshot of a person's birth time in an astrological chart? You can't. You can't really know or even really reliably predict what the person's next life is without observing how the person lives in this life. You know, astrology is really good for certain types of questions and certain types of applications, but it's not ideal for other things. So for example, this question of what am I going to be in my next life, rather than looking at an astrology chart, it'd be better for you to look at the Vedas or the Upanishads or the Puranas. So for example, in the Gita, Krishna says, Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajantyante kalera tam tam maivaiti kaunteya sada tad bhavita. What he's saying is, your next life is going to take the shape that your thoughts have cultivated in this life. So in other words, your physical reality in the next life is going to conform to the mental reality that you've cultivated in this life. The way that you think in this life is going to determine your physical, tangible reality in your next life. That's a much better answer than anything an astrologer can give you based on your chart. Here's a question from Helena. Why does Vedic astrology tell me the planets are in a different position than what Western astrology tells me? Well, that's because the vast majority of today's Vedic astrologers anchor the zodiac to a certain star, while the vast majority of today's Western astrologers anchor the zodiac to the sun's exact rising onto the Earth's equator, which takes place on the equinox of March. In other words, Vedic astrologers use a sidereal zodiac based on a star. Sidereal means star. And the Western astrologers use a tropical zodiac, which means based on the sun's position relative to the equator and the tropics. In my opinion, both forms of astrology are supposed to use both types of measurements, sidereal and tropical, but for different things. Tropical measurements should be used for things like the zodiac, and sidereal measurements should be used for things like the stars. The Westerners refer to the stars as the fixed stars. The Vedics refer to the stars as nakshatra, which also just means stars. To use sidereal calculations for the nakshatra and tropical calculations for the rashi or the signs, in my opinion, that's the real original Vedic system, and that's the way I practice my Vedic astrology. And if you want more information about this, because it's a detailed subject, I'll give you a link in the description of this video. It's down there. Here's a question from the unconquerable Ajaya. How do dashas work? Dasha means a period, phase, era. Yeah, everybody's life goes through different phases and eras, and dashas are a way to try to predict what those eras are going to be like. In classical times, this was a technique that was common to both Vedic and Persian branches of astrology, but today, it's mostly just the Vedics who still use it. Even in Vedic astrology, there's dozens of different theories about how dashas should be calculated, how they should be interpreted, and so on. But the most popular is based on a 120-year cycle, and it's called Vimshottari Dasha, which Vimshottar means 120. Each planet has a turn influencing an era of your life in a certain order. The starting point of the cycle depends on the moon's position in a certain nakshatra or star at the time or moment you were born. In each dasha, there's sub-dashas. In every era, there's sub-eras, and in every sub-era, there's another sub-era. and another sub-era, another sub-era. So you go from periods that are like a dozen years or so long, and you can go sub-period, 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 and it can get down to like a week or a few days of length. The most popular theory for interpreting a dasha is that whatever the planet represents in the birth chart is what's going to come through whenever it has its dasha or its sub-dasha, provided that the other planets having their dasha and sub-dasha at the same time have something similar in what they represent in the birth chart. Several years ago, I did a video series about dasha, and I used Krishna's traditional birth chart to illustrate how you can interpret dashas. So I'll give you a link to that also in the bottom on the YouTube page. Thank you for watching my videos. Please click like and share it with your grandma and all your friends. Please subscribe to my channel. You can also subscribe to the podcast version of it. It's audio only through iTunes. Put your questions down there in the comments. And I'll see you next time. Hari Bol.